Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, you guys. I just took a very hot sip of tea. It's gonna burn tomorrow.
Oh no! Did you just burn your tongue?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility that I'm not gonna be able to use my taste buds on that part of my tongue for the next few days. You guys know when that happens. You're like, damn it. You burn the roof of your mouth or you're too eager with your tea or coffee. Man, it's a hard life out here. Quarantine life.
That happened to me the other day. I burned my mouth on like bone marrow.
Is it pizza?
Like, no.
I love it.
Guys, I'm so bougie. No. Evan made roasted bone marrow. And I mean, basically bone marrow is just, it's fat. It's hot fat.
It's delicious.
But I was over eager and ate it like almost immediately after it came out of the oven. So I basically just burned my mouth with like hot oil and it hurt.
After
it
it's been so sitting good, underneath though. The broiler for like hours.
Yeah. It's just like, I just cooked my mouth.
Ooh.
I remember so good.
like hot pizza or whatever. Like, you know, when you take a bite of pizza. Mm-hmm. Ooh, or the worst is when you take a bite of pizza and then the cheese falls off a little bit farther than your bite and then it flings off and then hits the bottom of your chin and your lip.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten third degree burns.
Yeah, no, it just assaults you. It reminds me of the story my grandma told me. So when she first came to the States as a student in like the early 60s, and she had a friend who also was like from Liberia and studying, and they had pizza for the first time, and the girl did not know how hot that cheese is when it's fresh, and she just like took a big bite of like cheese pizza and just burned her mouth so bad.
That's dangerous. Man,
pizza, like, is so, people should sue Big Pizza more often. Or at all, because the number of burns caused by mozzarella cheese.
I'm surprised they don't have those like McDonald's coffee cups, like, caution, it's hot.
I know.
But like written in pepperoni on your pizza.
That's a good documentary. Hot coffee, I recommend it.
I know, I every time, because that's not the first time I've referenced that like thing. And I'm like, I know I get it wrong. Like, I know it's not what we all thought. It's like that Mandela effect of the storyline. I feel like we were basically taught that in history class. Be like, this is what happens when you do something and you don't have your things covered as a company. Like, you could get sued and then end up like the coffee lady at McDonald's.
Well, because what happens in what the podcast, not the podcast, what the fuck, this is a podcast, what the movie is about is like tort reform, really, because it gets into a lot of other cases where people have fired corporations, you know, because they've been harmed by, you know, something the company did. It's interesting, though. It was eye-opening because I think we all grew up with that whole story of like, oh my God, like people these days are so crazy. You need someone to tell you your coffee's hot. And like, apparently the lady suffered like second and third degree burns from that coffee. It was like insane. It's like, and she was an old woman too. It was really sad.
Oh.
She's like a granny.
Everyone assumed that she was like, you know, like a working class, like a Karen. Like a Karen. Mid-40s. Yeah,
like, no, she's like a sweet little old lady.
Because the people that we do hear about that, like, it's like, I'm going to sue you. It's like, those are the Karens.
Yeah. It's like all the people who's threatening to sue Costco over having to wear a mask.
Oh my God.
On what grounds, you dumb dumb? But anyway, how are you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing well. I feel like good right now. So for any of you guys that haven't been, my microphone's like really, really loud right now. For any of you guys that have not been following me on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Shine a Life. I have officially gotten my like first piece of paperwork to eventually apply for a visa to go back to China. I feel like most of this podcast life that we've had, I've been stuck in America. I mean, we started this podcast with me stuck in America, waiting to go back to China, and now went to China, girl, came back.
I've been stuck in America too, just not for the same reason. I'm trying to get out.
We are all stuck in America. Let us out.
Speaking of which, I intend to, I mean, I want to finish hearing your story. We need it. Mm. We will shout out to our international, our new international listeners, yes, because mama needs a equivalent of your green card over there in your country. If you want to marry me, you go before I put out my Lonely Hearts ad, you go.
Listen, Sanique and I, we are just, you know, we're humble. We're not above being a 90-day fiance to get out of this fucking country, okay?
No, of course not.
Come on now. No. But yes, yeah, so I've gotten the first step. It's like the first step of a long process that is normally long. I've gone through this pretty much every summer or anytime I'm here in America trying to get back to China, but it's multiplied by 10 trying to get back to China with a closed border during a pandemic. And so trying to get information about that, anyone that's curious about what that process is like, it's like going to the DMV, the MVA, as we call it in Maryland, the Motor Vehicle Administration. It's that, but that's how the entire country of getting anything done is. Oh, goodness. So that was a fun thing to have to deal with today, but I got some answers. So I have information in my head now. I also think I possibly have a kidney stone. Or a strained back, or I haven't been exercising enough. It's one of the three.
I hope it's not a kidney stone.
Me too, because I'm like, I know it's only gonna get worse before it's over. It's just also, like mild pain.
You'll have to like pass it. Those are very unpleasant. I've been told.
I know. I've never had a kidney stone either, but. But otherwise, I'm doing well. It's like it was like a good news kind of week. It's just kind of like delving into the stress of trying to travel in a pandemic internationally now. But you know, it's nothing as bad as, you know, the life of an immigrant trying to deal with visa issues in America. So I guess I consider myself lucky.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely a struggle.
But how are you doing, Sneak?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. This past week has been fine. I've been applying for a lot of jobs, a lot of writing jobs, freelance Hey-o. Type stuff. Still making comedy videos, which has been fun.
Oh my gosh, yes, they're hilarious. Response
from that. If you like that kind of stuff, you can follow me on Instagram, SEY_SMYTHE, and on Twitter at SEY_anything. And you can see some of that and see my funny tweets. Yeah, but you're still living in America. Still just, it's whack as fuck. It's ghetto here. I hate it. As I was saying, I want to shout out to, we always reference our UK, Australian, and Canadian. We've never called our UK listeners. We've always talked about the Australian and Canadian listeners. But It came to our attention this weekend that we have extended partially outside of the Anglosphere, which has been very exciting for us. Yes. I think it's relevant because we are trying to get out of America. So follow us on Instagram if you want to see our pictures and see like how cute we are, because we are.
we're good looking.
we're like hot. So like, you want to marry any of us?
H-A-W-W-T.
I do have a boyfriend. If you're okay with him also being involved, we can talk about it.
But I am fully single, no commitment anywhere in sight. So just come on over.
Oh, you're making yourself so much more appealing. Damn you. But yeah, shout out to new listeners in the UK, the UAE, Ireland, Bosnia, Germany, Portugal, Serbia, Slovenia, Singapore, Greece, Iraq, Belgium, Mexico, the Netherlands, Czech Republic, Russia, France, Poland, Spain, Japan, Ukraine, India, Pakistan, Israel, Brazil, Romania, Venezuela, and New Zealand. Hello to all of you, damn, folks. I am making use of that international relations master's
degree. Hey.
Look at all these new international friends I got.
Look at me. Mama, I made it.
Yeah, no. Hey guys, we're seeing a lot of new listenership, so always exciting to see new folks, and hopefully Welcome. You stick around. Interact with us. Yep. Tell us about what's going on where you live and how our lives are going to be when we get married.
Introduce me to my future in-laws.
I'd love to FaceTime the neighborhood with my new parents. Hi. Oh, we're silly. I love guys. It. We're some silly gals. See, we're funny too. You'll love us.
you love it. Don't try to deny it. You guys love us.
You guys love us so much. And you're gonna love me even more when I'm living in your home.
Sanika and I can both cook. If you yes. and Evan
can cook. That's Evan that's the other perk. Yeah, I bring
exactly
a personal chef for all of us. So
do we have any Let's see, I don't think we have anything else to say. You ready to get into the episode?
Let's do it.
Oh, trigger warning for today. Whew,
oh,
trigger
yeah,
warning.
Big one.
We're talking about all the eating disorders, body dysmorphia, diet culture, fat phobia, all of them. So if that is just the least bit triggering or bringing up some bad thoughts, just, you know, go ahead, listen to some of our bonus episodes we put out. Go listen to a happy one in the past. Just don't listen to season greetings unless you want to hear us not talk about honestly, season greetings.
Season's greetings should have had a trigger warning for just being sucky. I think I might. Wait, I'm going to change the description to trigger warning. This episode sucks.
Okay. Was that the one that we had to re-record too?
Oh my god, yeah, we had to record that shit twice.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. You guys didn't know. Yeah, we had to re-record because our audio was messed up, so we had
my
to...
My audio. You can blame me. I fucked up. I recorded on the wrong mic. That was
the cause. But I also, like, I remember I was even like, you know what? We could re-record that. I feel like I went on one too many tangents about things we didn't need to talk about.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, so
with an episode like Season's Greetings, you have to. Marley was like, "Wow, I listened to your episode where you definitely didn't talk about the show," and I was like, "Shut up, stop being so negative."
That's friend of the pod, Marley. She tells it like it is.
Yes,
in a loving way, but also honest.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, did you write down the synopsis? This is one part I never do.
Of course I did. Shall I read it?
Yes, please do, Sanique. What's the synopsis?
I got you back. This week, we're covering Season 3, Episode 9, Food for Thought. Air date, January 23rd, 1989. Synopsis. Kathleen shows signs of a dangerous eating disorder when pressures mount at home and school.
We all knew this day was coming. A day when we could no longer hate Kathleen with a happiness behind it. You know, yeah. The day was coming.
To be honest, of all of the characters featured to do an episode on an eating disorder, she made the most sense. I was like, that's actually, I think, good on the writers for, like, picking, if we're going to have to tackle this, like, picking a character where it's like, I hate to say it, but I can believe, you know, given her situation, that's probably something aligns of some sort of self-destructive behavior.
If it wasn't an eating disorder, it would have been something else.
It would be
else,
something you know? Else. Yeah, it's like she's very troubled, clearly.
Yeah. Whew. So we get a cold open. We're back at Kathleen's house with her parents. Did we ever get Kathleen's mom's name? What do you think her name? I feel like her name would kind of be Karen.
No, I feel like she's like... She's a
word. Deborah.
Deborah. Her name's Rhoda.
Just like you see the name, you're like, I don't feel happy and joyful after.
Yeah,
after
unless you're
this on an application.
Unless you're like the Rhoda from Mary Tyler Moore. Otherwise,
oh yeah, the only,
the best of the Rhodas.
But yeah, we get a cold open at Kathleen's house. It looks like they're getting ready to all sit down to dinner. Kathleen's kind of sitting there watching everything happening. Her dad's on the phone, kind of talking logistics about an upcoming work trip. Her mom is clinking that ice around in a cup, in a
She's
glass.
She's hitting that bottle hard.
I mean, it's dinner time in the timeline of an alcoholic. She is what I can't be speaking more. What's the word for like drunk? Not rolling, because that's when you're high.
She's wasted?
She's wasted. She is.
Yeah, she's white girl wasted. White girl wasted over there.
She is white girl wasted. Oof. But she's been white girl wasted for some years now. Yes. And she's, you know, kind of giving some remarks. She's kind of commenting on, you know, how her husband's going to be leaving again for a work mm-hmm. trip, and she's not happy about it. Did you see what they were eating for dinner?
Was it gruel?
No, but it was a nice honey ham with some pineapple slices, and Kathleen had a tall glass of milk to go along with it.
Excuse me, who eats a honey ham not during the holidays? That is sick. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, you are deranged. Like, this family is so unwell. Like, what? I have only eaten honey ham at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Actually, no. We don't do it at Thanksgiving. We do it on Christmas or Easter. There's two times you get honey ham. I don't just eat a honey ham. Lauren, if at any point in my life you're like, hey, girl, what you making for dinner tonight? I'm like, a honey ham. Like, fucking get me help.
But the thing is, I love a good honey ham. Like, I was thinking about the other day. Like, I'm like, ooh. Because, you know, like, honey ham, especially in a small household, that stuff is going to be lasting for days. You have some nice fried ham sandwiches the next day. Mm. Mm, so good. You know that honey ham isn't cooked through, though, when Kathleen's mom is cooking. Like, it's cold in the center. So Kathleen's, you know, staring down that honey ham that she's not going to be eating. And her parents are fighting. They're kind of like, she sees the beginning of an argument happening. Yeah. Her mom's giving a lot of side digs into her dad about, you know, whatever 10-year argument they've been having. And Kathleen excuses herself from the table. It's always the
same argument, isn't it? With like,
it's always
marriages are falling apart. You guys are arguing. No matter what the argument seems to be about, it's always literally about the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Work, money, or how much you're drinking on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know?
Spoiler alert, it's constantly.
It's constantly. Kathleen excuses herself and, you know, walks into either the bathroom or her room. Mm-hmm. She looks at herself in the mirror. She goes, "You're so fat." In a very Kathleen demeaning way. I was scared.
I mean, I hate Kathleen to say
talking
it, though,
to herself is the worst.
I hate to say it, though. That probably was most real, like relatable moment in the whole episode. Like, I don't like to, you know, so I don't want to project, but you realize that, especially for women, we all have weird relationships with our bodies. I have absolutely recently looked in the mirror and been like, ugh, and just kind of like poked at my tummy or like poked at something I didn't like and just was like, ugh. I haven't outright said, "I'm so fat," and then the music started, but I've like definitely, we've all stood in the mirror and like kind of jiggled a leg or thigh or like kind of just like me. I don't know. I feel like that's relatable.
No,
right?
No,
like, yeah.
It's very relatable. I think especially for women, like, we, you know, we're living in a white supremacist patriarchal society that, you know, white men are the gatekeepers of what is beauty and what is appealing and sexually attractive. And I think if you guys didn't know it, we're in a bit of a revolution. If you're not part of it, come join into the body positive. And I'm not talking about that, like, ooh, I'm going to show you my roles when I sit down. No, I'm talking about standing up roles, body positivity.
I love standing up roles.
Don't be like, oh my gosh, look at all these rolls when you're like hunched over, like in a cross-legged position. No, that's That's just, that's literally gravity and you pushing your skin together.
Yeah, it's literally your skin.
but yeah, it's like there, you know, there's this revolution going on of like, you know, body acceptance and, but it's something that, you know, is started very, very young of just, you know, what is an okay body and what is a bad body, you know, what do they call it? The moralization of like the moralization of food, the moralization of body images
and like weight and stuff.
Good fat and bad fat, baby fat, kind of, you know, the word fat being used as an insult. And, but yeah, I completely agree. It's like, it's that, I mean, we're talking about middle school selves, the most insecure you're going to get is a middle school teenager, preteen, sorry, not even teenager, just a preteen. And, you know, add on that Kathleen with the world on her shoulders.
Yeah, I actually have been reading this book. Well, I've read it before, but I'm rereading it. It's called Wasted, and it's by Maria Hornbacher. And it's a memoir of a woman who suffered for years from an eating disorder. And she published the book. I think she was like 21. She was really young. And it's really well written. There's some points in there I kind of disagree with. I think part of it is because of the time in which it was written in the 90s. So like, I think a lot of things have kind of changed, but some things are still very true. But she wrote this really interesting part about how how for her, like her eating disorder really, I mean, she had disordered eating at a young age, like pretty young age, but it really took off when she got to puberty and how like, I don't know how true this is. And if anybody is willing to share or have had their own experiences, I'd love to hear just because I'm not an expert on this. It's based off of what I've read personally. So I don't know. I'm not an authority. But she was like how often it is for young women in particular to experience an eating disorder at puberty or to start to – it's manifest because you are at this period of flux where your body is just changing. And it's like if anorexia, for instance, is supposed to be – or is oftentimes seen as a disease of control – how out of control do you feel as a girl or as a woman is when you're going through puberty, your body is suddenly just like – fucking going crazy and like you're gaining weight in places you never did, like you're getting breasts, like you're experiencing all these, you know, we all remember like fat distribution is like happening and you're just like, what the hell is going on? And it's like need to kind of like rein it in. It's really interesting that so when you mentioned that part about being a middle school girl, it was like, yeah, actually, like I remember reading that in the book and being like, yeah, that it makes sense. Like it's, I don't know how true it is, but it made sense when I read it, at least.
Yeah. And if it, you know, if it's not the entire case for every person dealing with those things in their mind, it's the case for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be back after a quick break.
But we get a classic Degrassi Junior High transition from you're so fat to that was throughout this episode because they had a lot of like that as transitional music like after several moments this episode, and I was like, did they think this is some like Jedi mind trick? They're like, if we put some happy music in there, they won't be so depressed about watching this episode. Maybe.
I'm like, no, if anything, it just makes me laugh at inappropriate moments.
Exactly.
Like a teenage girl saying, I'm so fat. And I start laughing.
Exactly.
Like, the transition is so like jarring.
So our first scene is Kathleen anxiously stomping/walking to school. Is she holding a poster at this point, or is she holding some stuff in her hands?
She's got, like, some stuff in her hands. I think it's parts of the poster, maybe.
Miss Avery sees her, and I love Miss Avery this episode.
And she looks so good. That out, that pink ensemble.
A nice little, like power dress. It's not a power suit, it's like a power dress, you know.
It was so cute.
Strong shoulders. And, you know, Miss Harry goes, like, you know, where are you running to? and Kathleen goes, oh, I'm just getting some exercise. Now, one thing they did this episode was they addressed every symptom or tactic or manifestation of disordered eating or disordered body, whatever. That's all under the realm of, like, you know, disorder eating. They addressed it all of, like, how it can manifest, what it might look like, you know, kind of warning signs that I thought was good. It wasn't just, you know, she's not eating, you know. I thought that was good.
I think also the ways in which those same signs cannot be – can be disregarded as being just, like, a thing. Because, like, she's – if I saw anyone running to school and I'm like, why are you running? Like, oh, I'm just getting some exercise. I wouldn't be like, oh, like, are you – you have a problem? Like, no, like, that's okay. Like, exercise is normal. Like, that's okay.
And I like that they addressed that throughout. They did such a good job of, like, what under the realm of, like, being a young girl and then, you know, turning, you know, being a woman in society, how everything is focused on your body. And, and the policing. I mean, if we want to get into it, the policing of bodies by other people and other women policing other women's bodies. Ooh, they went to everything this episode. And I liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she asked if, you know, it's the science fair day or science fair week. So
they take this fucking science fair at the school. Like, the whole school shut down for this damn thing. I was like, damn, bitch, we had, like, science fairs and stuff at our school. It was never like that. Like,
definitely not.
We definitely went a certain period. If you were in your science class, you went to the science fair. You did your presentation. The rest of the day, you still went to class. I think one other period, maybe you were allowed to go see the exhibits. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it was still just school. Like, you, the whole school didn't Canadian, come to
all. Canadian middle schools, they're like, this. We take this very seriously. We do not mess around.
Maybe that's their smarter than us. We're going to give you
ample time.
Maybe we should have done that.
I know. Speaking of science fairs, did you ever do a science fair or participate?
Yeah,
I remember we had to do it in elementary school.
Yeah, we did it in high school even, because there was, like, we didn't call it a science fair per se, but there was that we did it a few times. It was like a science type of, like,
voluntary.
I think it depended on the class you were in, because I remember doing it.
Oh, so you were in the advanced science class?
Not even. I was in not even close. Our project was so whack. Marley and I, so we were in the 10th grade, and we were in bio. I was like, Marley, let's do this project together. And she was like, bet. And we could choose anything we wanted. And we decided, I decided, because I was the one who was like, let's do this, Marley. I was like, oh, let's learn, like, you know, I think we, you know, these, what do they call it? Antibiotic resistant viruses and bugs and shit, right? I was like, let's see that in action. So I said, we ordered this, like, science kit with, like, petri dishes, and we swabbed, like, doorknobs and shit at the school and to make the stuff grow. And it did. We got some shit growing. I don't know what it was. Fungus, bacteria, I don't know. It was growing in there, though.
And it was coronavirus.
We broke the story on coronavirus well before anyone else did. Give me my Nobel. But so we did it, and we put it in the petri dish, and it grew. But to prove that antibiotics didn't work, we got penicillin and amoxicillin. My aunt worked at a hospital. She was able to get us some penicillin and amoxicillin, and we just crushed it up and sprinkled it. We just sprinkled this shit like fucking like I don't know what, like glitter, like, on it, and we're like, yeah, like if the bacteria doesn't grow in this area, we know that this, it killed it, and if it does continue to grow, we know that this is resistant to antibiotics. It's the dumbest fucking project. It doesn't make any sense. It's not how that works. But we were like, yeah, this is going to be so good. And then we, like, the pictures we use were so, like, poor quality. And we use, like, liquid glue and not glue stick. It's just, like, hot garbage. So, yeah, of course we didn't place, because it was not a good project.
You're like, I can see, like, in your mind, you're like, this is about to be like our high school publication is gonna pick this up as like an op-ed of like a tell-all of like the truth about the cleanliness of high schools in Montgomery County.
Lauren, and you know me so well, because that's exactly what I thought was gonna happen. I'm not even exaggerating. I was like, oh yeah, this is groundbreaking work. Like, I felt like I was fucking Marie Curie. Like, yeah, I'm saving the world.
I wouldn't put it past you. So,
if one you guys, podcast at a time.
I feel like you guys probably are guess like what my science projects were a little bit more like, a little bit less scientific.
If your PowerPoints are any indication of what your science fair was like.
Oh no, I didn't even get to science fairs in middle school and high school. But I remember a science fair I did in elementary school, and because I think it was like in elementary school, it's more just about like, you know, like applying like the scientific method of like, you know, coming up with a hypothesis and trials and stuff. So you really could pick whatever you wanted to do just to like do an experiment. And I don't know how, this idea was came up with, I think my mom helped me because we did a lot of baking, but we tested which cookies were the best for dunking in milk. And
I love this. Like, that was just an excuse to eat cookies.
But I think my mom was also like, so I gotta help you with the science project now. Like, so she's like, I'm not building a volcano. We're just gonna do whatever we have in the house. So, yeah. And I remember we tested Oreos, like homemade chocolate chip cookies. I think we just did, like, we tested two. I can't remember which one was better. But I remember, like, because I think I was also, like, at that point, like, when you did projects at home, like, you brought your finished product to school. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, I'm really proud of this. And then you like show up to school and you see everyone else's and you're like, ah, damn, they have test tubes and dioramas and shit.
That was literally what happened to Marley and I. We got to school and other people's projects were just clearly superior. And we were like, damn. Wow. Okay. Guess we're not getting that Nobel. Fuck you guys.
So I very much appreciate the dedication that Degrassi put towards the science fair. So we get into school and Alexa is reading like a Cosmo, Teen Vogue type magazine. Mm-hmm. And Simon comes up and Alexa goes, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth, Simon. Which if she's asking for Simon's opinion, that's on her. She goes, am I too fat? Am I too fat, Simon? Like the classic, like juvenile girlfriend question, or maybe an adult woman would still ask this into today. Am I fat?
Sometimes I'm sorry. Guilty. And it is a trap. Okay,
but it's a trap. It's like, there's no good answer, but the true test of a friendship or a relationship is this. You know, you and Evan are still together, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, he didn't. He doesn't have to call me fat, so we're still together. That's how that works.
He's like, I still fuck you. Like,
basically, he just says that to me, and I'm like, good enough. Not like, you know, being a straight dude doesn't mean that he probably would do anything. He's just like, good enough. Yeah, you love me.
I feel like I was like, smash or pass. Smash or pass. That's like the 2020 version of like, am I fat? And I don't even think Simon doesn't really answer it. He's like, and then Alexa keeps on like asking five other questions to confuse him more. Like, Alexa, you know how stupid he is. Come on now.
Yeah, you're confusing him. You know, you have to stick yes to one no question. Questions. Yes or no. Don't know, you know, open-ended questions because he's American, you know.
I didn't realize that. They gave the stupidest person, the stupidest character is American. I see what you did there, Canada. I see.
This is racist. I don't appreciate it.
So this starts Simon's vagueness in his answer starts Alexa's Alexa's, which already existed her to begin spiral, with, but her
fucking spiral,
her sudden spike of insecurity, and like every scene that she's in, she has a different opinion of like what to do, and it's oof. So we get to the resource center, which I guess this is what they call the library.
Yeah.
Do Canadians call the library resource center?
I think it might be a Degrassi thing.
Or just at schools. Okay. Yeah. What do they call it in Next Gen with all the computers?
I think they call it the resource center too.
You're so right.
Because remember, because Mr. Simpson's class is called Media Immersion. Which sounds like a made up thing. Like, what is that?
Again, it's like
it's fucking computer episode? Class. Calm down.
Like, they got Liz in there talking about what computers can really do. Computers can end animal testing forever. That's what Media Immersion was all about.
Basically.
So, yeah, Melanie catches Kathleen writing in her journal, or in what she assumes to be like her diary. Mm-hmm. And she's like wondering what boy she's talking about. And she thinks she's writing about her. And Kathleen is very closed off. She's like, it's none of your business. So they're working on their project together, which God bless Melanie for volunteering to
work with.
I think Kathleen. Melanie was like, you know what? Kathleen's on the job. I'll get a good grade. We'll probably do well.
What is the status of their friendship at this point? Are they still friends?
I think my theory is that they have this friendship that is toxic. You know those like friendships that they're like, oh my gosh, we're best friends, but they like fight all the time. And I'm like, that.
It's like frenemies.
I don't. Yeah. And so I feel like they have that. Mm. I think it's like, because I remember like we already got to the point where Melanie poured milk on Kathleen in the cafeteria. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I think they're on. So I think at some point, like when
they're strange, because I think because at one point mm-hmm. when they're at Kathleen's house, she says to her mom, like, Kathleen's mom is like, oh yeah, Kathleen says you're her best friend, but it feels like Melanie's kind of like, no, I'm not, like, we're not like best friends. Like, Kathleen's lying.
Melanie
is not like she has friends.
Is definitely shit talking Kathleen. Yeah, Melanie is definitely shit talking Kathleen constantly to other people, but it's still at that point where like. You know, like, oh, hey, girl, how's it going? You know?
Yeah. Aww.
But she doesn't realize that she's being a bad friend by, like, shit-talking her and still trying to be friends with her.
Yeah, it's like, either be her friend or don't. Like, don't shit-talk your friend. Mm-hmm. Shit-talk your enemies.
Right? So, yeah, Kathleen's very, very stressed about winning and the project and all the things in her life. So we get our next scene. So Alexa is talking with the twins. She says she's gonna do a crash diet. She wants to lose 5 pounds in a week. And
it's interesting that she proclaims, I'm gonna go on a crash diet, because I generally feel like you don't say that. Even if you technically are on a crash diet, no one admits that it is. Typically, it's used as a thing to deride the diet. Like, this is a crash diet. It's bad. You don't announce, like, I'm going on a crash diet. It's almost like saying, I'm joining a cult. It's like, no one really knows they're joining a cult when they join it. They just are joining a cool church. And then they realize it's a cult after the fact, you know? But no one's like,
I just joined an MLM. Join a cult.
Yeah. Like, I'm, you know, I'm going to be a boss babe. But no one's like, I'm joining a pyramid scheme. Like, you know, like, it's... You know, so it's interesting that they had her say that, because I was like, I don't know if she would say that. I think she'd just be like, I'm gonna lose 5 pounds in a week, which would then elicit someone to be like, that's a crash diet, that's not healthy, you shouldn't try to lose 5 pounds in a week. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think they're using like hot words or hot topic words this episode, mm-hmm. to be like, this is what the kids are saying these days, but no one really says it.
Yeah.
So, of course, the twins are doing a project on eating disorders. Also, the fact that the twins didn't have an eating disorder together, because I feel like I've known so many twins in real life and in like TV that like deal with because you literally have a mirror image of yourself, like dealing with body dysmorphia.
Interesting.
It happens a lot in twins.
You know, I did watch an episode of Intervention like that, where the twins, the twin girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really sad. And like one of them had to always be like 5 pounds heavier. And that was like her punishment.
Yeah.
It was like fucked up. It was really dark.
Yeah. You're like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I was like, I remember watching that. And I was like, oh shit. Like they're the only ones talking sense this episode. Like, okay.
Yeah. But you know, Heather and Erica.
One was rational.
Typically, Heather and Erica, when they are not the center of an episode, are there just to be like, the talking heads, and naturally oh my god, this scene, Heather, because Heather's a sensible one, is the one who's like, you know, like, Alexa, don't do that, it's anorexia, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And Alexa says, I wouldn't mind having a little anorexia. And I was like, oh no. Oh, but I'm not gonna lie, I've said that before. I'm gonna own up to it. I've said it, not recently, but as like a teenager,
oh, yeah,
who was like, exactly, like finicky about her, yes, weight, I've definitely thought like, oh god, I wouldn't mind having that for a little bit. Not fully grasping, like, this isn't, yeah, this is a disorder, like, yeah, people die from this. This isn't a cute thing that you just do for a week, yeah, and then you're good. Like,
yes, exactly. It was the early 2000s of you know, insensible talking.
Like, yeah, I was
it's all a joke, idiot, right? Like, this is all funny.
I was like 12 too, and just like, mm-hmm, man, what I'd give for that. Like, no, you stupid.
Yeah. It was a different time. It was a cultural reset.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is only the beginning of Alexa's problematic lines this episode. But yeah, she was very excited, very ecstatic, maybe even, to say that, oh my gosh, anorexia exists. Like, I could do that. That, okay. Which,
but Alexa would say that though.
I know. She would say that in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Alexa's still saying that. She's saying it right now.
Mm-hmm. So we flash back to Kathleen and Melanie at the resource center, and Melanie suggests, let's go to lunch. Like, you know, it's almost lunchtime. I'm hungry. And and this kind of starts a kind of back and forth between the two of them of, you know, Melanie kind of lighthearted being like, how come you never eat? Like, aren't you hungry? And Kathleen is very serious. She does not mess around.
No.
She goes, no, because I have willpower. Are you jealous? It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, she's like fucking hardcore. But that's exactly what was in the book I've been reading. It was that. Like, she says, like, the woman who wrote it suffered from anorexia and bulimia at different points in her life. But she's like, no, absolutely. When I was anorexic, like, I genuinely felt like I was testing my body's limits. It was kind of like the thrill of kind of being like, I have power over this body that's telling me that I need to eat something. I need, you know, and kind of feeling superior to people who felt like they had to eat. Cause she was like, I don't have to. I'm still alive.
Yeah, cause I remember.
I'm eating. I think at one point she was eating like 100 calories a day. And she's like, I'm still alive. So clearly I'm superhuman.
And I'm not dead. I remember with that documentary Thin, like hearing, it kind of becomes like this competition to, like, to be the sickest is to be the thinnest, which is the best, you know, like to have the strongest willpower to not eat. It's like, you're winning at it. And which is why it's so terrible to your body. So, they kind of get into an argument, and Melanie kind of storms out. She's like, I'm going to eat lunch.
Yeah, because she's freaking out. Kathleen's freaking out over like the chart that Melanie did.
Oh yeah,
because she misspelled incinerate.
Yeah, which I would have done, definitely.
Like, God damn it, Melanie!
And she had the audacity to suggest to use whiteout. Everyone knows whiteout makes things look messy. I would have been annoyed at that too.
I would have too, because it was written on blue paper. It wasn't on white paper. It was blue paper. So it's like, you're on white, whiteout on the blue paper to draw attention to your mistake.
Come on now. And that's what everyone's thinking. Okay, so during lunch, Melanie is chatting, shit-talking with Caitlin. And Caitlin is more than happy to shit-talk Kathleen.
Caitlin loves to shit-talk Kathleen. To a point where it's like, at a later point, when Melanie does, like, she approaches Caitlyn, she approaches Caitlyn and she's like, yeah, I think Kathleen's not eating, like, da da da. And Caitlyn's like, oh, yeah, it's probably why she's so bitchy all the time. Like, I was like, Caitlyn, like, yeah. Miss Save the World, like, come on now. Like, we're talking about this girl maybe having an eating disorder. Like, save the quips for another time. Like, I know Kathleen's bitchy, but, like, it's not a time to be like, yeah, she's a bitch. Like,
yeah. And then Melanie goes, in this scene, she's like, I know her mom's an alcoholic, but it's still no excuse. And it's like, oh, damn. Like, so it's just common fact that her mom's an alcoholic now.
I mean, remember all those kids?
Kathleen's the daughter.
Remember when they were doing, like, the quiz show and they all came over to her dark house? Her dark house, both like literally and figuratively, and her mom was just like wasted. Like, those kids, all Tim and them, Nancy, all of them went back and were like, ayo, ooh, Kathleen's mom is an alcoholic. Like, because I would have been like, oh my god, she was like so drunk. Like, I would have absolutely talked about it.
I feel like Tim and Nancy are definitely like they're not like the gossips, they're like the low-key gossips that, like, did you hear?
They're definitely kikiing all the time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're, you know, talking about that. Alexa found a book about diet tips. So Lucy walks by and they invite her to, you know, sit with them at lunch. And Lucy goes, oh, you know, I'm going to meet up with Clutch. And, you know, last episode, they didn't really touch on it, which I feel like they could have carried out the storyline of. Which, again, we kind of noted it last week that Erica didn't really like Clutch to begin with, so she's not going to be petty about Lucy dating him. But she got over that so quick.
Yeah.
I would have been, even...
When she even, said it, know, when she said it, Erica just was like, oh, she's like laughing, like, yeah, he's cute. I'm like, well, you got over that really fast.
I know, you can at least be like, you know, when you're a kid and, like, you have toys you don't want, and then, like, but then your brother or your sister starts playing with it, and you're like, well, now that looks fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're at least supposed to have, like, that kind of envy and, like, jealousy. She really doesn't care.
She's very mature.
She's so mature for her age. I think one of them makes a comment about how, like, she never eats because Lucy was avoiding eating lunch with them. So I think Heather is the one that's doing all the research for eating disorders. So she's like diagnosing everybody.
Yeah, she's projecting on everybody.
I felt
that because, for basically all my life, I've been thin, like, you know, sad violin. Mm-hmm. My life's so hard, but because I say that because I hate when people like. I personally get annoyed as like a thin person with people who are thin, like, get on the whole like, oh, like, yeah, in a perfect, yeah, we shouldn't shame anyone's body regardless of the size. But I do kind of roll my eyes when I hear like a thin person being like, you remember that All About That Bass song and how she says like skinny bitches and like thin women will be like, it's just not right that you call me a skinny. I'm like, oh, shut up. Like, that's not.
Yeah, it's like.
Is it the same? Like, don't pretend like it's the same.
Reverse
thing.
Racism doesn't exist. Yeah, and it's not the same as body shaming, but like it's slightly there.
It's shitty. Like, don't. I think we should all avoid commenting on everyone's body, regardless of the size. Yes. But I don't like the idea that like, oh, like being called a skinny bitch is the same thing as someone calling someone a fat bitch. Those are two. Don't pretend, because there's literally a joke I've heard when people are like, oh, she called me a skinny bitch. My first thought was like, oh, you think I'm skinny? Like, it's not the same. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But
there's a TikTok sound called, you think I'm skinny?
Right. It's like, let's not pretend like they're equally yoked. Like, don't do that. But I have had an experience before. So because I was growing up, I was pretty thin. More than one occasion, I had relatives, like, not ones I grew up in the same house with, but like outside, comment on my body and like imply that I had an eating disorder in a way that was like offensive. Not because it was like, oh, you're calling me skinny, how dare you call me skinny, but like I was upset, like, don't fucking, like, that's like a serious illness. Like, don't put that on somebody. Like, don't claim, like I had like my mom's like best friend who is, she's nice, I guess, but she also like, she has a lot of opinions.
There's always that one.
She has a lot of opinions. But, like, every one time she stayed at our house to visit, and I wasn't eating a lot because I had the flu. So I just was sick and was not eating as much as I usually would eat.
One of Alexa's diets. Yeah. Ask the flu.
Alexa was so jealous of my flu. She was so jealous. But like I was, yeah, she wasn't eating very much. And she had made a comment to my mom that like, oh, like I don't ever see Sinique eating. Like you need to watch her. She's not eating. Like she's like, it, again, implying that I had an eating problem. And I was like, I have the fucking flu. Like I'm not eating because I don't have an appetite because I'm sick. Like weirdo. Or even like another time. And it's like the one thing I don't like about, you know, I'm a Liberian person. I'm proud of it. But the one issue I've had with like Liberian folks in my life is that like they just say shit and it's like you just say things you don't even think about what you're saying, you just like no say stuff. It's like the implications of it are just really horrible. And I went through a phase, I think in high school, where I was like a vegetarian very briefly.
I remember that.
Yeah, I know, 'cause I was annoying. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a vegetarian. I was very excited about it.
Is there meat in this?
Is there meat in this? Like I was one of those people. I was 14 though. Like, give me a break. I was 14. But I was vegetarian, and a family friends or whatever was at the house, and I was making something, and I was like, yeah, I don't eat meat, like, you know, whatever. And they were like, they said to my mom, like, oh, well, be careful with her not eating meat, because that's how people start becoming anorexic, is because they don't eat meat. And I was like, what the f-? I was like, what? 14-year-old me even had the sense to be like, that's not how that works. And also, like, don't imply that someone has an illness, because it is an illness. It's not much different than if I was drinking and you're just like, oh, Sinique's drinking a beer, she's an alcoholic. Like, okay, like, don't make assumptions about people's like life or their health because you watched a Dateline episode and now you think everyone has that thing. It's just like, it's really, it's shitty. So yeah, I definitely thought of that with Heather just deciding Lucy was anorexic, because it was like, dude, she just, you don't know the whole story. Like, don't go to that point, you know?
Yeah, it's all under the umbrella of, like, people thinking, particularly women, people thinking that you, and it can kind of, anytime you waver from the ideal, people think that they have the authority, or, like, you're asking for their opinion or their advice about something. On the other end of things, it's like being a fat person and people automatically thinking that you want to lose weight, or that you're like looking to for a way to lose weight. Just like strangers coming up to you being like, have you tried like CrossFit, or like, you know, you look really strong. Have you tried CrossFit? And it's like, yeah, like just, yeah, it's this weird thing that very much exists. And yeah, this a weird policing and feeling the free people having the freedom to like comment on women's bodies or having any authority over their body. It's like ridiculous. So we get a quick scene, Scooter and Bartholomew. Barty. They're confused about their project. With their rat experiment. I mean, we literally just had an episode about animal testing and they're doing a full-on science experiment on two rats and feeding them unhealthy and healthy food and seeing which one gets fat. That's terrible, like Degrassi.
Like feeding that one rat Cheetos, like Flaming Hot Cheetos. You're gonna kill that rat.
Flaming Hot Cheetos and Mountain Dew, and the other one gets like organic vegetables.
Man.
Degrassi, you're terrible. So, yeah, they're confused. Kathleen, it's in between classes and Nancy approaches her. Nancy is getting her life with these glasses.
She looks so cute. I love them.
She looks so cute. I'm a glasses wearer. I don't have them on right now, but I love a good statement glass. I love good statement glasses, and she was rocking them. And she was kind of getting on Kathleen for being behind an article for the newspaper. And Kathleen, which, I mean, I think everyone is just, what is it? It's very similar to the episode with LD when everyone's just fed up with her. And LD's going through something very tough, but no one gives a fuck because they didn't know what was going on first.
Everyone's just like, they didn't give a fuck. Where are the fucking deliverables, LD? Like, that's all they care about.
Come on. And so that's kind of how, you know, Caitlin's like that with Kathleen. Nancy's like that with Kathleen. I think Melanie's pretty much the only one that's kind of like seeing, like, she, you know, she's in Kathleen's brain, her best friend. So yeah. She kind of sees the downfall that Kathleen is taking.
Right.
And after school, Melanie and Kathleen are having a conversation about where they're going to go to finish the project. Because remember, Melanie messed up the spelling error, and now they need to do everything over again. And they kind of get in a little tiffed about, you know, whose house they're going to go to. And, you know, Kathleen's trying to deflect and be like, hey, why can't we just go to your house, Melanie? And Melanie, you know, she has an excuse for it. But also, like, Melanie should know. She should know why Kathleen doesn't want to go to her house. So we get to a scene where Simon, or Alexa, puts the blame on Simon for her forced diet. So I think at this point, is this when Alexa's like, it's not to the point where she comes to her senses. She's still in her insecurities.
She's insisting that I'm going to prove to you, like, I'm going to lose weight for you. Like, you just wait. And he's just like, baby girl, I didn't tell you lose weight.
Number one, don't do that. Number two, Simon is never worth any of that effort.
I know. Of all the Degrassi boys, like, Simon's cute, but Simon doesn't have anything happening like in his head. It's just like a whooshing sound in his brain. Like
you listen to a seashell to hear the ocean, that you get the same sound in Simon's brain, you know?
Damn.
Like,
oh my God.
So funny. Lucy gets invited to get fries with the twins, but she declines. Maybe this is when she's going to see Clutch. I don't know. She declines because she's doing something.
She's going with her parents. She's like, yeah, my parents are taking an interest in me this week, so we're getting dinner. And she's very, like, nonchalant. I'm like, damn, like, you want to talk, Lucy? Like, why are your parents only interested in you, like, on certain weeks? Like, no.
But I loved Heather's comment, because Heather could be a friend of the pod with this comment. She says, see, she has things in her life that she can't control, so she has to control her body. And I was like, Heather sounds like us analyzing these teenagers in this made-for-TV show about teen drama. And it's like, that's us.
Yeah, just basically, it's not that deep, honey. Like, you're reading into it way too much, and Heather really is just going in. And Erica's like, oh, God, Heather, you're sounding like a documentary. What are you, a walking pamphlet or something?
That's like literally me when I've had a few drinks and I'm like, let me tell you about the systems of white supremacy.
Oh, God. Who are you, Ava DuVernay? That's what Erica would say.
And I'm like, yes, thanks for that compliment, Erica. I love it.
Like, I wish I was. Thank you.
So we get a scene. We're at Kathleen's house, and it's a little bit more well lit this time at Kathleen's house. Not by much, just a little bit. But her mom brings out cookies and then kindly pours herself a drink. There's still something in there. She tops herself off a little bit.
I mean, what goes better with cookies than some whiskey?
I mean,
it actually is really good. Like, if you have like
a really gooey
cookie with just like some whiskey on the rocks. You don't dip the cookie in it. That's fucking barbaric.
My scientific theory would definitely prove that that is not a good idea.
That's a good callback. But yeah, no, you just eat some like ooey gooey chocolate chip cookies with a little bit of whiskey. It's good.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's a good wintertime treat.
Ooh, it's almost fall. Remember that time it was winter when we started this pandemic? It's almost fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going through the seasons.
I brought it down.
It's like Vivaldi or something.
Did you see that on Black Twitter? It was like a trend, a thread that was like, you guys, we already passed Easter.
And people like don't remember it happening. It's like, yeah, Easter happened.
I know. Oh, damn. So Kathleen is very, Kathleen's acting in this was quite good.
You thought so?
I thought so, specifically in this scene when she wasn't like outwardly like she looked very, how am I saying this? She was very visibly stressed by the situation, but did not feel, she wasn't in control of the situation, and it was very, I think she felt very vulnerable in the sense of like, that's why she never wants people to come to her house, because it's like you see what she's dealing with. Like, it was her mom is drunk, and you can't hide your mom in those situations. And so it's just, yeah, Melanie's there, she's seeing everything, and
that duck on water analogy. Like, she fights so hard to create this like image of someone who like has it together and is perfect, but like under the surface her little feet are just kicking so like, you know, so hard. Which I feel like is also a good analogy for being a Gemini, because that's literally me, is very you work at making sure people think that everything's fine. It's like that meme, like they ask you if everything's fine, it's not fine. It's like literally that.
Yup.
Yeah.
But Kathleen, instead of paddling her little feet, she's loudly munching on and chomping on those cookies. I mean, it's not funny because we know why that. But I feel like at this point, Melanie isn't fully aware of everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, what the fuck is she doing with those cookies? Like, Melanie finds Kathleen's food journal. Kathleen looks in the mirror again, says, you're so fat. And we get another smooth transition with our da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Alexis suggests diet pills now.
Yeah, so speed.
Because hydroxycut! Do you remember? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Oh,
fucking hydroxycut.
I mean, yeah, I know. All those things are literally you're just taking meth, like in pill form.
Oh, in another 5 years, you're going to start seeing those commercials of, have you or someone you loved been hospitalized after taking hydroxycut? Yeah, because none of the diet culture pills, supplements, all of that shit is not FDA approved, and it doesn't have to be. So.
That's true.
Yeah. You just find out afterward what's so bad for you. Mm-hmm. And Heather is saying, you know, that's really bad. You know, gives her documentary spiel. Mm-hmm. And then they see Lucy eating an apple because she's health conscious. And one of the twins goes, see, she's eating. Then Heather gives a statistic about bulimia.
She's a 50%.
She's got one for everything.
Of anorexics are also bulimic, and I was like, is that true?
And I think that's kind of what we're talking about before, of like, where, you know, it might not be like that they're binging and purging, but they might purge after regretting something. I think that it's like,
yeah,
you know.
But also, anorexics still eat. Like, she might, yeah, like, I mean, that's why someone could be anorexic for literally years and not die, because they still are eating. They're just not eating nearly enough, so.
And then Alexa goes, ooh, what's bulimia? What's that? So you can eat whatever you want and then get rid of it? And I was like, oh, girl.
No. Alexa famously missing the point. Like, no, Alexa. I just want to shake her.
Okay. Okay, so we are inside school. Melanie is concerned. She's finally like, okay, something's up at that house over there, and Kathleen is not okay. Mm-hmm. She starts talking to Caitlin about her concerns, and Caitlin's like, bitch, stop.
Literally,
it's Kathleen.
Was he like, oh, well, no wonder she's so bitchy. She's hungry. I'm like, Caitlin, fuck.
Melanie's like, all right, so you're the person not to talk to about this.
Wrong person.
And so Melanie walks into the bathroom, and we see Kathleen is hiding a box of laxatives. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
And I think this is, like, the thing where it's, like, they, at this point, I was like, oh, okay, so they're trying to kind of, like, paint the picture of all the different ways that, you know, mm-hmm. eating disorders can manifest, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Kathleen just kind of brushes it off and, you know, says, like, ugh, you know. I think Melanie goes, what are you using those for? Kathleen goes, you know what they're for, as if, like, to shit. I'm using them to shit.
I think I would also say that. I was like, what the fuck do you think I'm taking laxatives for? Like, what do you take laxatives for? Is it take a dump? Like,
I wish Kathleen, I mean, it wouldn't have been good, because then she would have, like put the blame back on, almost like gaslit Melanie. But, like, she would be like, I have it shit in a week. Okay. I need some laxatives. I'm stopped up. Like, she would have just made a bigger deal out of it to make Melanie feel comfortable.
Yeah,
that would have been bad. So we get to the science fair. Finally, we get to the best science fair ever in Degrassi history.
The most random science fair ever. Literally, they do whatever the fuck they want to do. One of the projects is... And they say it like it's a discovery. She's like, we found that when we mix a solvent or a solvee or whatever the fuck in the solvent, it dissolves. I was like, bitch, that's just knowledge. Like, that's not
literally what solvent means.
Yeah, but also like, no, but she said specifically, oh, when we mix it, it dissolves. I'm like, yeah. Also, I bet you when you heat it, it dissolves faster too. We all learned that in chemistry. Like, I know, we all know that. You put sugar in your coffee, it mixes better. When you mix it, you don't just put the sugar and leave it to hang out at the bottom. Like, it just was funny because the way they,
I know.
It's like the girls say it's the way that they're like, we discovered that when you do, like, you know, no shit. We discovered when I drop the pen, it hits the floor. Gravity. Like, yes.
Who's that scientist that discovered it?
Sir Isaac Newton?
Yeah, they're like, we're going to Newton this shit. But their science project literally reminded me of, like, when you're, like, trying to, like, meet a word count on an essay. And you're just, like, just rephrasing everything every which way you can just to meet that word count.
I saw a tweet today, and it was, like, writer writes how... academic, the way in which. I'm like, oh my god, yes. I used to write that shit. Oh, I used to love doing it. The way in which, the extent in which, like, this is extra words. Like,
yes, I mean, the thesaurus,
yes,
the unknown dinosaur, the thesaurus,
yes.
Okay, godsend.
Like, bitch, you mean how,
whoever invented oh. And you know when now that Microsoft Word got too smart, because now they start, like, they try to, like, suggest shorter ways concise to write something. I'm like, bitch, language. You don't know.
I said concise language, you don't for know. What? I can write 500 words. Fuck you about no concise language. Don't stay in your fucking place, Microsoft. Don't tell me about concise language, okay? I'm writing the way in which. Therein, however.
But I love how, like,
let me live, okay?
Their science project, they were like, let's just throw some fancy test tubes and some swirly madiggies, and they'll think we're real scientists, because they literally were talking about dissolving salt,
pour some sugar into a coffee and just mix it and see. Do, okay, here, control an experimental group, take one coffee, do two coffees. One coffee, you just pour the sugar and do nothing. Other coffee, pour sugar and mix it, tell them to taste it. Which one tastes more sweet? The one that you mixed, right? Because I mixed it. That's why it tastes, it dissolved. The one that didn't, you don't taste any sugar until you get to the very bottom, and it's all there. That's what you need to do. No test tubes needed. Just coffee.
Okay, so we get the science fair, lots of bullshit projects. Okay, my question, do you think, because they had projects all over the place in this multi-purpose, all-purpose room, do you think that they forced these kids to make projects for props?
You'd be like the creators of Degrassi?
Like, because I feel like they did.
Probably, because I don't know who else would make them. Because they do look like kids made them. They look like I feel like proper science. They might have made these fucking kids like, yo, make a science prop fair project. Because you don't got it in the budget.
That sucks.
And you have to buy your own markers. Buy your own markers and construction paper. Oh my God.
Ooh, some your own glue and glitter. Ooh.
You know, one of these actors night before they had to bring it to set, had to tell her parent to go to fucking to CVS and go get some shit for them. And their mom was so pissed.
Y'all.
Because I used to do that shit all the time.
Y'all. Y'all kids today don't understand how hard it was before 24-hour CVS and before, like, Target and Walmart.
My mom would get the amount of times, mad at me. I'd be like, Mommy, can you take me to Walmart so I can buy control? And she's like, when did they assign the project? I was like, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. But I need to do it now. Yo, my mom hated me.
Oh, see. I remember there was definitely one time, I think when I got a little bit older, and I was like older, but like still not like high school age, because I didn't really do projects like that in high school. Mm-hmm. But I remember my mom was like, we got markers, crayons, and paper. Why don't you just color the paper to make it a different color?
Damn. But then how am I supposed to write marker on top of that? You can't write marker on top of a crayon because it gets all weird and bubbly.
We'll use a lighter color. Like a yellow to color the paper. And he's like, listen, girl, we had very limited arts and crafts supplies. And as a kid that loved arts and crafts, I knew we had very minimal things. And I'm pretty sure we had the same markers for like 15 years. Those things were dry as shit. But Degrassi definitely made them do their own projects, I swear.
No, I love that you mentioned that. I didn't think about that, but now you say it like, yeah, those kids were absolutely doing science projects for their acting job. But on top of that, they also were still in school. So they had to science project probably at their school.
So we get to, they're kind of getting glimpses of all the projects and little spiels that people are giving. Mm-hmm. And we get to Kathleen and Melanie's. And for all the work that they, you know, all this hype about their project that was so important to Kathleen, it was literally a fucking poster board with bar charts. So yes, Kathleen is talking over Melanie and just taking over the whole presentation to Mr. Radich, who's the judge for their presentation.
He seems very overwhelmed by Kathleen's energy.
Oof. Like, he's like, I do not get paid enough for this, and I'm sitting here politely trying to listen to your presentation, but this topic sucks, okay? Yeah. It sucks. And I wrote down, she's like those street petition people that are like so eager to talk to you, and you're just trying to get away. Hey, like, you're trying to be polite.
Do you have time for the environment? No, bitch.
And you make eye contact with them too quickly, and you're like, damn it! Because that's the best way. If they can hide their clipboard and you don't realize that they're, you just think that they're, if you almost look like they are walking past, like they're also walking down the street, that's the way you get me. Any of you guys out there that are working those, you know, terrible entry-level jobs at companies where you like have to get petitions signed and get people like, sign up an email list.
Most nonprofits, they've got some poor college grad out on the street in 2-degree weather signing a petition.
But at the same time, it's like, that doesn't work in 2020. Like, that's not how you if you're really wanting to reach people, I mean, that's a tactic, but like,
it's like, just like get a fucking change.org account. Like, why are you making like sign physical petitions?
Put out a really shareable video on social media.
Yeah.
That'll, you know, and a very easy way for people to pay, like the best nonprofits are the ones where they're like, here's 15 ways you can pay. And you don't even have to get out your card. It's like, take my money. That's how you do it. I love that. That's how you do it.
The best nonprofits also give you a tote bag after you donate.
Oh, get a free gift. And let's just say that Kathleen was not doing it well. She was that wide-eyed
just
person.
Sweaty. Like, just like, I don't know if she actually was sweaty, but she just gave me very sweaty energy.
Yeah, very frantic.
Yes. It's,
like, it's, you need to know this.
Chaotic energy, you know. The Gemini when Mercury's in retrograde, just like,
oh,
calm down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm really just making things up. Thank I don't know what you. I'm talking about, guys. Sorry.
I mean, you know I don't know anything about horoscopes. That sounds right to me.
Yeah. You say anything confident, you say anything confidently enough, it's real.
So Scooter and wait, do our British accent. I can't do it.
Scooter and Botty.
They finally learn why Jill is getting fat. It's because she's pregnant.
Why was this? They're really laying on the Scooter, this Scooter and Botty, like, whole bit. Like, they're clearly replacing Arthur and Yeg, but it's like no one gives a fuck. And, like, with the same fucking stupid flute music, where they show up, it's like, do, 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 do. Like, who cares?
And Melanie confronts Kathleen. She's like, holy shit, this is... I think Melanie was watching Kathleen, like, ramble onto Radic, and Radic was like, holy shit, what's going on? And Melanie was able to kind of discern how uncomfortable that situation mm-hmm. was, and Kathleen was not picking up on those social cues, and she confronts Kathleen about, hey... She confronts her about her eating disorder.
Well, even before that, though, because we find out that the twins win the science fair with their naturally their eating disorder thing, and those fucking solvent girls got second place. Though it was bullshit. And
it's the tubes, the test tubes,
yeah, test tubes in color in food coloring. But she confronts her because she's like, yeah, you're not eating. But also Kathleen does go on a spiel about how like. She wants to make her parents proud, and that's why she's like, mm-hmm. she needed to do this, and she needed to win, and like, you know, it's very clear that Kathleen it's the issues are going to run deep. It's not just wanting to be skinny. It's not just, you know, wanting to win, but it's like her yes. parents. She has put it on herself that she has to save her family basically by being perfect, and it's actually really sad.
It is sad, but I liked that they. Because Degrassi Junior High is outdated, and I feel like with these outdatedness, I feel like it has a tendency to like, she's not eating, she's anorexic, but like not deal into like the reasons of why and mm-hmm. where this comes from, and like why people have this idea that, you know, this is the answer.
Yeah.
And so I liked that they like were giving that background to it.
Yeah, because I think also other shows do it, and it's like, oh, they have...
I'm trying to be a model. I'm going to be anorexic.
I want to be skinny. Like, do you remember that cartoon, Brace Face?
Yes, I love that show. With Pepper Ann. It was like Brace Face, Pepper Ann, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, yes. The animated series were my morning shows.
Yes, but Brace Face had an episode where Sharon crashed diet. And it's because she wants to be skinny enough to be in a fashion show. A lot of it's very fashion show based. Or mm-hmm. in Lizzie McGuire, Miranda gets an eating disorder because she wants to be skinny for the video she's in. It's like, it's a lot of like very, very superficial reasons. Mm. It's like, sorry, if a person is going to the extent where they are putting themselves in body, like their bodies at risk in order to be thin, it's more than just wanting to be thin. It's, mm-hmm. It's not normal to literally risk your life to be like, that's, there's more to it usually. Yeah. And she fucking faints.
Oof, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And
no, I was almost as surprised as Melanie.
Thankfully, Avery shows up, though, and she, Melanie tells her.
Yeah, Miss Avery. And that's why Miss Avery's the best, because she's a safe adult. What do they call it? It's like find the helpers or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Miss Avery. Yeah, Miss Avery is that person that, like, you know, when it's like, I feel like I, you know, I have this thing, I'm the secret or whatever the secret may be in your life that you're holding. And it's like Miss Avery, like, is just, you just instinctively know that she's the person that it's okay to tell. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much.
I do too.
I almost want to cry. I love that so much. Oh, where's my helper in life? Where's the helper for America? That's what I want to know. I want the safe adult for America right now. So yeah, she's faint. She's unconscious. Like, she's like she's out. Then we get another transition of the theme music. Like, again, they just...
They keep laying on
They're so like, you know what, thick. Kathleen's... Kathleen's too sad. We need to double up this episode. And we get to the next day. Alexa says, she's not going to lose weight just because of Simon. You should love me for me, just the way I am. It's like, all right, and you Simon's, guys are toxic. And Simon's like, get out of here.
I do. He's like, I literally do. Like, I know. Like, I just had Bob LaBelle with you last week. Like, I love that about you.
I wrote down, so Alexa, when a lot of, Alexa's just like the worst, because I feel like these are people that have an unhealthy view of food, but not the unhealthiest, but they're the most annoying about it. For example, Alexa's the girl who's always talking about food and how hungry she is, but like, will never eat. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm starving. But then we get like a carrot. And then she's also the person that like eats a salad. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so full. I could have another bite while you're still eating. Mm. Like, or at a table full of people. And she like, she's always there to like make everyone else feel bad. She's like, oh, like I just like, I don't know. I just like, I can just eat. I can just drink this smoothie. And like, I'm full for so long. Like, but like, and like, we all have that one thing that we could eat and we're full for so long, but she's that person that eats like nothing and just says she's full for so long, just to make, she's that, again, Alexa's the, she's always fishing for compliments. She like says all these things to be like, oh my gosh, girl, you look so good. Like, did you do this late? She loves to hear it.
Oh yeah. She
loves it so much.
She lives for that shit. Absolutely.
And she's the person that has the unhealthy habits, but like, she, in her current place, like, she's a problem drinker. She's not alcoholic yet, you know? Like, she's not dying from it, but she's like, there's problems going on with her.
Man, I feel like Alexa's, like, the one character in this whole show we've gone the most in-depth with, and she hasn't even had an episode. She's never had an episode. I don't think she ever does. I think we just, like... It's so easy to get a read on her, though.
I know, but she has those one-liners every episode that just like, you know exactly who she is.
She has more character than fucking LD, and LD has had more. We'll get another episode, and Alexa just like, Alexa's carrying the show on her back.
So we get to the inside the school, and we see Miss Everys talking to Kathleen, and she's insisting, and she's like basically like I told the nurse that you're coming to see her. You need to go see her.
Yep.
Which I liked. I liked that she was taking some initiative. I'm sure her hands are tied as a teacher, so there's limited things that she can do. Mm-hmm. But I liked that she was not like, are you doing okay? And then just like never discussed it again. I love that she was like, no, you need to, like, you're going to see the nurse today. Mm-hmm. That's happening.
Yeah.
And Kathleen's pissed at Melanie. She calls her a traitor for telling Miss Avery all her secrets.
Yeah, she does call her a traitor. But, like, yeah, understandable. Kathleen's very tied to her eating disorder. So, and eating disorders thrive off of, like, the secrecy of it. So it's like, you know. But Mel, I would say Melanie's acting is actually pretty good in this. I think she does a good job of being the concerned, like, you need help. And she's like, you know, you need help. Like, we're here for you, blah, blah, blah. And then Kathleen goes, I don't need help. And I don't have a problem. And that's the end of the fucking episode.
The scariest part was, so I paused my computer as that ended. And then I got up to go get something. And then I came back in the room like a while later. And then it was just Kathleen's face. And the credits rolling, and I was like, "Oh, girl, you scary! Your eyes pierced."
Yeah, because she did whip around. She's walking away, and she whips around, and it's like, "Wow, she's
last look."
She's open-ended Kathleen eating disorder. At the very least, they didn't solve it in one episode. Like, it seems like she probably still has one, like indefinitely.
Yeah, I like that like, again, because it's like, what do you do in that? How do you, like, what is the help at, it was open-ended, but yeah. It was also realistic in the sense of what that would actually look like if that happened in middle school.
Yeah, but still does way better than other shows. Like, remember that episode of Full House and DJ has an eating disorder for 2 days because she wants to fit into a bathing suit? And she passes out at the gym because she keeps working. She's on, like, the fucking elliptical and she faints. And then they're like, we love you. And then she eats again. That's it.
Okay, have you been rewatching Moesha on Netflix?
I have. I've only gotten a little bit into season one, though. Or almost, I think maybe through season one.
Ooh, girl, I just got to season two and Q is in the picture. And I, like, Q was like, I was like, that's my crush.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he had the bad boy vibe, but it's poetic justice.
Yeah.
Like, he's Tupac.
Yeah.
She's Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with Q growing up because it was just like, oh, she's sneaking out. Oh. And I was like, in my mind, I was like relatable to Moesha, but then in no ways I was relatable to Moesha. But they had an episode where I liked it because it was just like, oh, this is a black version of it, which doesn't mean that eating disorders don't exist in the black community. But Moesha was named to have, like, the biggest butt in school, and so she was trying to work out to, like, get a smaller butt.
Oh, yeah. I remember that episode.
Yeah, that was, like, their body-shaming episode.
Yeah.
So who were you this episode, Sanique?
I think I would have been, Lucy, given the stories I told of, like, people projecting their ideas about eating disorders on me. Probably Lucy. I'm just kind of being like, no, I'm fine. I wasn't doing dance and I wasn't hanging out with Clutch, but I was just like, no, I have the flu, so I'm not eating right now. But
exactly,
I like to eat. How about you?
I like to eat. I would say, I think I mentioned earlier, I would probably be like Heather, where I'm like, I'm trying to think of my middle school self.
I think you still would have been Heather.
I guess, like, maybe Melanie, in the sense of, like, not coming from an understanding of what, like, not understanding why. Like, what, I think, like, wanting to help, like, knowing that something's wrong, but, like, not having the capacity to understand, or just the knowledge yet of understanding why Kathleen is doing the things that she's doing.
Right.
And, like, Just come to lunch, Kathleen. Just come, like, you know, like, but then eventually realizing that, oh gosh, something's, you know, eventually coming around. So I think probably a Melanie, maybe less, like, I probably would have had some, like, at middle school, definitely probably would have had some Caitlin comments, maybe a mix of, like, Caitlin comments along with Melanie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, probably some light insensitivity. Yeah, as you do in middle school. Should we transition to our YouTube comments?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got them pulled up. The top comment here is, quote, "You're just jealous. Here we go again with the famous quote." And they say it, I think the reference is to Next Gen. That's like Manny's favorite comeback. It's like, "You're just jealous." It's like, yes. Oh my God, no, bitch. I'm not jealous of you. Like, calm down. Yeah, so that was a fun little.
You had a few boys like you, and now you think you're just all that. Yeah, stop.
Everyone's just jealous of you. He was like, no. We have a comment from Jeff from 2 years ago. "The actress who played Kathleen's drunk mom is the mother of the actor who played Snake in real life. Is that verified?" It's got 306 likes. I don't know if we all just decided to accept this person's bullshit or if it's true.
Wait, I want to look it up very quick. I'm going to look up on the Degrassi fandom. Oh, it is! Sheila Brogan. So it is Snake's real mom.
Fun. It's a family affair. Hermosa Loca, 2 years ago, said, "Kathleen and that ASMR with those cookies."
Stop! Oh, no!
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. But no, but seriously though.
They're like, not wrong.
Like, I get that she's like binging the cookies, but I feel like the mic they use or like what it is, I think, well, the sound that was being picked up wasn't from her. Someone did a sound effect of crunching, and it's so loud. It really is very loud that it's like, it's alarming. Like, similarly, someone said,
I love
Carla
that.
B said, Kathleen munching on those cookies loud as fuck, laughing emoji.
Oh, that's so good. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, someone else was like, why was the cookie chewing so loud? The light will notice, like, it was unnaturally loud.
And it lasted
loud.
So long.
It was long and very loud. Ooh, is this okay? This person needs to be on the podcast because they read into things as much as we do.
Ooh, yes.
Joe Finofa B, 2 years ago, said, anyone else notice that Kathleen's last name is Mead, a type of alcoholic beverage? Not to mention her mom also happens to be an alcoholic.
I mean, I love to think that the producers and writers are like, I love to, I'm accepting that as fact. It's happening. This person was in the writer's room. I believe it.
I know. Yeah, I feel like that's like, that might be a little bit of a reach, but it might be true. Who knows? Yeah, and this one, which is less funny, but more, I think, accurate. I have a Courtney M from 2 years ago said, I have always disliked Kathleen, but the part where she broke down and said she just wants them to be proud of her was the saddest thing I've seen on DJH, to be honest. Sadder than when fucking Wheels' parents both do parents die?
Ooh.
Like, I mean, it was sad, but fuck. Like,
it's the sad Olympics over here, man.
I know, the fucking tragedy Olympics. Ooh,
I feel like, yeah, Kathleen, if we think about, gun to your head. What? How do you even do this? Which? No. Okay, gun to your head, which is more tragic? Because now I'm not going to make you choose a life. Gun to your head, which is more tragic? Having a wonderful, loving family and adoptive parents, both of them die, or your family lives, but you have terrible family life?
I think I'd rather just have the living shitty parents, probably.
I know, because eventually you can get past them and move on with your life.
Or at the very least, maybe there's that lingering hope that I could change it, or like there maybe things can change, because people can change, family lives change. So like,
true,
that could change.
Kathleen's mom could get sober.
Yeah, she could get sober. It's not impossible. Versus like your loving parents just dying. That's just it. Like, they're just dead now. And now you have to go find your drummer dad.
Yeah.
I think it's time for us to move to our stupa dupa objective scientific, like a science fair ranking system.
You guys know I love a good scientific theory.
She sure does. She loves a cookie dunking scientific method. Starting off with 80s Canadianess.
I did make a note that... in the 80s-ness of it all, that no one really cared about Kathleen and Melanie's project, because it was the 1980s, and who really cares about global warming?
Yeah, they,
you know,
they thought they had enough, they could buy their time.
like Kathleen was talking with so much urgency, and everyone was just like,
she was like,
yeah,
by
but
2008,
like,
the ozone layer will no longer exist, and they're like, we got time, and they kept going.
As they spray their aerosol hairspray around their head.
Yeah. He's like, Miss Radish just like touches up his hair real quick with some hairspray. He just walks and he's going.
throws some litter on the ground, stomps on some dolphin's heads and doesn't cut up his...
Lights a cigarette. Lights a cigarette. Blows it in Kathleen's face.
Doesn't put it out.
And it just flicks it. And it just lands, and like someone else has like a project and it's like with fish, and he just like the cigarette just lands into the fishbowl. He just fucking fuck those fish.
That's how little they cared about global warming back then.
I would give it a 6, and maybe. I think it wasn't.
Yeah, and we had a lot of adult Canadian accents.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I would give it a 7 then, I forgot, because we did get Kathleen's parents, and their accents were thick. Yeah. As well. The dad was like
the first, and it was literally the science project fair.
But also the dad's accent was so thick that I wouldn't even try to do it because I think it'd be racist if I did it. It was so Canadian. He was so Canadian. I was like, wow, like her dad shits maple syrup.
He literally sweats maple syrup.
Yeah.
And poops maple syrup and pees maple. Like, it just, that's all that exists in him.
Yeah. He's made of maple
syrup. Yeah. I would give it a 7.
Yeah. Fashion.
I mean, it's Kathleen heavy, so yeah. Not a lot of fashion moments, unfortunately.
I would give it a 6 just because we did get Avery's pink dress. Lucy makes an appearance and has kind of
She had a nice little butterfly clip at some point.
Yeah. Caitlin has a cute little headband going at one point. Mm-hmm. So I'd say like a 6.
I'll say
maybe a 5. Yeah, maybe a 5.
6 is good for me.
Am I being too generous?
Well, so we're out of 10. I would say 5. Middle of the road.
Yeah, I think 5 is good. Acting.
I didn't see any bad acting.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, I feel like Kathleen's character is consistent. Like, I believe that is how Kathleen would have reacted in those situations because, like, it was how always Kathleen is portrayed. So I don't know if that's because the actress is that she just is playing very similar to herself or what. Mm-hmm. But so I felt like it seemed because I feel like sometimes with the kind of character episodes, like, it's like, oh fuck, what the heck, what are they doing, like, because they're like almost overacting. But I feel like in my mind, I feel like Kathleen, the actress that plays Kathleen, is very method. She's like, she just is very in the zone of like how Kathleen would react to stuff.
I agree. I also think that Melanie did a very good job as well. Alexa was a little bit weak. I think Alexa was a little bit too, like, they're really playing up the whole like Alexa's stupid. And just like, it was like, okay, Alexa, like, come on now, like, even too stupid.
When she said, I'd love
I would mind a little bit of that. Like,
I'd love a little bit of anorexia. Oh, girl, come on.
But I would give it. I'd give the acting a 7.
Oh yeah, I think that's fair.
I think it was solid. Some solid acting.
Solid. It was good for a heavier episode, you know.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, plot. Did it go there?
I think it's on the higher end of did it go there, yes.
Yes. We got some good character development from Kathleen. Continuation of the stuff we mm-hmm. already know about Kathleen, that like she's very mm-hmm. high strung. She's very anxious. She needs to be perfect. We continue the storyline with her mom, the absent father, the alcoholic mm-hmm. mother. It really kind of culminated mm-hmm. the character, I think, that's like – like I said earlier, that it makes sense that Kathleen was the character that they gave the anorexia mm-hmm. storyline or the eating disorder storyline to. Like, it would have been really random if they had decided it was Lucy. Well, actually, no. Actually, Lucy would have actually probably made – no. Lucy could have made some sense, I think, yeah. To Heather's point that, like, absent parents, like, some stuff at home. But not totally. I think Kathleen actually was, like, the perfect one. I think they could have fucked up and given it to, like – they could have given it to one of the twins. They could have given it to LD. And it could have been really stupid.
The typical teen sitcom would have been to go the Lucy route because it would have been slightly more surface level in the kind of teen drama way of like, oh, Lucy's a dancer and her parents really aren't around to cook very much food, so she just doesn't eat, you know, like, and I
and also because she is like Lucy also is like the tall, pretty. She's like the pretty girl. I mean, honestly, she's like the pretty girl on this show. It would have been like the obvious.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's trying to continue to like fit her image. Mm-hmm. It makes us the Kathleen, who's I mean, not to shit on the actress, but like the plainer actress, the one who's kind of more under the radar, I think, aside from a personality. I think it was smart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was so real.
Yeah.
Because, of course, like, eating disorders, you know, are everywhere, but it's not always the pretty girls that are just trying to stay pretty.
It's not always the popular girl who's trying to, like, you know, mm-hmm. it is a girl who's, mm-hmm. If anything, is the overachiever. It's the fucking girl who is in the mm-hmm. books, who's about her shit, who is probably suffering and not the you know, Teen America or Teen Canada. Hey, girl. Yeah, I think to that, I would give them a 9. I think this was actually a decent.
I would give it. That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that leaves us with 28 Trapper Keepers. All right. So with 28 Trapper Keepers, that puts Food for Thought at the number 7 place. It's tied number 6 place is tied with Revolution. So it's on the higher end of the episodes for sure.
Yeah.
Above that is Rumor Has It, Sealed with a Kiss, Loves Me, Loves Me Not. But it's a high one of the better episodes.
Exactly. I think it, especially with like it going there, like when I think of like I feel like this was a very Degrassi episode where it's like we are going to like delve into a topic in the realness of like, I mean, like we literally had a clip this episode of Kathleen purging like in a toilet, like that was part of the show, like that's like the trueness of like Degrassi. It goes there, like this.
Yeah, and this went it's there. In no way perfect. And, I think again, I think with most issues, Degrassi gets better at handling it. I know eating disorders handled a bit better. I think in Next Gen, it's, you know, later on we get a better takedown of those issues. But I think for a show in 89, I think it did a decent enough job. I think it wasn't great, but for the time period, I think pretty good. But yeah, that was our episode. Be sure to continue to follow us. Keep reaching out. We love to hear from you guys as always.
Yeah. You guys can check us out on Instagram at EWSpod. You guys listened last week. We have we shortened it up for you guys. We got a new Instagram handle. If you guys don't already follow us on there, you can check us out there as well as on Facebook at Everybody Wants Something Podcast. We post identical things up on there. I loved the feedback we got from when I posted the picture of my dad alongside BLT.
Yeah, I was just looking at it today, actually.
I think when I talked about it, I was like, maybe he doesn't really look like BLT as much. And then I was like, oh my gosh, they literally like mirrored images.
It's actually really funny though. It's like the similar outfit, the pose was like, yeah, it's literally your dad. I love that. Yeah, but guys, keep following us. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe. Reach out to us again because we like to hear from you. But as always, we will catch you later, broomheads.
Bye, broomheads.